Psalm 146. The last few psalms we're going to look at are really praise psalms. The book of Psalms ends in hallelujahs and praises, which, of course, all the way through, you and I have been encouraged to praise God in every circumstance, however it's going, no matter what it's like, to praise Him. Have we? Well, no, but that's what we were told to do. That's what God's encouraging us to do. That's what we're supposed to be learning then. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what He wants from us. Children that trust Him as a father. If my dad says he'll do it, he'll do it. Don't you remember being little and knowing that your dad was the biggest that there was and the smartest? It wasn't until you got into your teens that you realized otherwise, remember? And that he could probably beat up everyone in the states. And the whole, like my dad used to say, the whole United States of Tennessee. We begin this way. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Not only should we praise the Lord with our lips, but notice, it should come from our hearts. We should be praising God from deep within our lives. Not because it's going our way, not because everything's just perfect, but because He is good and He is God all the time. We should praise the Lord while we live. Now, you and I are going to live forever. If we're truly born again, you and I will live forever. Our lives will never end. God says eternal life. That's eternal. It never stops. But you know something? You're only down here for a very short time. I know it doesn't seem short to you, but it really is. Especially when you stop for a moment and you look back across the years. Maybe you don't have many of them, but still you can look back. They go quickly. They're, you know, it happens fast. And we should praise the Lord while we live, which means now. Now. Don't wait for it to get any better. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's never going to be financially solid for you. Maybe it won't ever. Maybe health won't ever be back the way it was before. But in all of that, thank the Lord. Here we are. We belong to Him. He has promised us life. He has promised He would never leave us. He has promised to cover us, to be our shield, to be our place of hiding, our defense, our redeemer, our deliverer. He is our all in all, we learned the last time we got together. So we praise Him for all our lives forever. Do not put your trust, King James, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Man, mankind, those that you're hoping in, those that you're trusting in, those that you're counting on, people are powerless. They're just as powerless as you are. They don't want you to think so. Sometimes they want you to think they're a little bit more spiritual than you. Just that much. They know more. They're a little more secure. They want you to think that nothing affects them. Nothing bothers them. But you've been going through the Psalms with us. You know better. Don't put your trust in people. Why? Because their breath is going to be squeezed out of them pretty soon. Their breath will be gone. And what will happen to them? They'll turn back to dirt. They'll go back to the dust from whence we all came. From the dust you were taken, God says, to the dust you will return. And that's you too, me too, us also. That's us. I know we're hoping that we get out of it by the rapture. And we could. That wouldn't be bad. I don't mind. But if He doesn't rapture me, just call me dirtbag. Dust. No lasting help can come from men or women, mankind. No lasting help. You say, Jesus was a man. True. But Jesus was the Son of the living God, born of a virgin, miraculously, the only one, the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ was and is God. There's a big difference between Jesus and everybody else who's ever been born all throughout creation. And if you're putting your trust in mankind, you're going to be sorry. The body is dust will return there soon. Whether that person is the highest in the earth or the lowest, they will return to the dust from whence they came. So, we're encouraged to praise God and to put our trust in Him. Where is your trust? What's that song we used to sing, the old hymn? My faith is built on nothing less than Scofield's notes and Scripture Press. No. Jesus. That's what our faith and trust are in. True? Do this. But you know, the reason you're not shaking your head so hard is because you know sometimes that's not true, isn't it? Sometimes you're hoping the government will come through. Sometimes you're hoping your wife, your husband, your parents, your kids, that your boss, that you're hoping that they'll come through. Put your trust in the King. Put your heart in His hands. Put your life in Him and trust. That's what we're being told. Now, verse 5 says, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Anyone who trusts completely in the Lord is blessed. Happy is that individual. You want to be happy, you say? I want to be happy. We all want to be happy. And we're trying a lot of things to make us that. What will make me happy? Having my trust in Him. Has God ever yet messed up? The answer is no. Has He ever yet been late? The answer is no. Has He ever yet come upon an assignment that He couldn't handle? The answer is no. Now, have you ever messed up? Have you ever been late? Have you ever come across an assignment you could not deal with or handle? Yes, and so have your friends, both of them. And so you keep trusting in those. You won't be happy. You want to be happy? Happy is the person that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You'll be happy because he's never late. He is never surprised. He never gets scared. No one ever beats him or outthinks him or finds a way around him. He is too big, and he's our God. I hope your trust is there. You notice he also, verses 5 and 6 tells us he's the Lord of all creation. He is powerful and he can be trusted. Verse 7 goes on to tell us this. Which, speaking of the Lord, executes judgment for the oppressed, which gives food to the hungry. The Lord lets loose, you try it, the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. You know, God gives help to those that are oppressed. Anyone who turns and says, I place my trust in you. God gives help to that individual. And he feeds those that are hungry. God takes care of those who will turn to Him, those who will submit to Him, those who will humble themselves. Many people won't humble themselves before the Lord, and then they complain that God doesn't help them. Why isn't God helping me? Hey, humble yourself and give your life to Him. But I want this and I want it this way. Fine, then don't humble yourself and don't give him your life. But don't complain when it doesn't seem like you're getting help. The ones he helps are the ones who say, I am yours. Take my life. Fix this. Or that one word prayer that works for most occasions, help. It's a good prayer. Hey, he gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those that are defeated. Do you remember Jesus as he walked on this planet? Let me read these again. He feeds those that are hungry, gives helps to those that are oppressed, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those that have been crushed or defeated. He loves the righteous. He protects the strangers, the travelers. And he cares for the widows and the orphans. And he makes sure that the wicked get what they deserve. Do you remember Jesus when he was here? Didn't he do every bit of that? Didn't he? He did. Now listen. Jesus Christ, Hebrews tells us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. That's where I'd be putting my trust if I were you. Look at verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. See, we're still talking about the Lord. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations praise ye the Lord. The Lord reigns forever. That means he is the eternal ruler. You and I could call him this if you want, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who will rule and reign forever and ever. Jesus is coming back. God the Son will return, and he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and he will, from that moment on, rule and reign forever. Even when this earth is gone, his kingdom will never end, and he will rule and reign. That's what's coming, and that's going to happen quickly. We go on in our praises. Praise ye the Lord, verse 1 of Psalm 147. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is right. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Notice, it's good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord. It is a right thing to do. He is worthy of all praise and all honor. And he will build up Jerusalem. He's going to bring his people back to their land. He's going to do it completely. It still has not happened completely as of this very moment. But it will. You can believe what God's word says. He will bring them back and he will care for them there. He will even, during the Great Tribulation, protect them miraculously. You'll see. You'll be watching from the mezzanine if you're truly born again. But you'll see what God will do. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Have you been hoping that someone would do that for you? That special guy, he hurt my feelings. I'm hoping someday. That special girl, that special someone. Oh, are you barking up the wrong tree? Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He binds them up. If you're looking to the Lord, he will strengthen your heart and your life. If you're looking to people, that's where your trust is, and you notice they've let you down so far, they will continue. Love them, but put all your trust somewhere else, and that should be in the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. Those that come to him, those that rest in him and trust in him. And again, a quote from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus wants you to come. He says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus cries out to everyone, anyone who will, you come to me. I'll bind up that broken heart. I'll strengthen you. I'll pull it back together. I am God. I can do that. No human can do it. You've been hoping that maybe your relationship has fallen apart and you're brokenhearted and you're hoping that someday Miss Wright or Mr. Wright, somebody's going to come along and make it all better. Well, don't hold your breath. Oh, if you find that person that the Lord brings along, praise God and thank the Lord and do your very best to serve the Lord. But remember, as soon as they turn out to be dirtbags, and by that I mean human, who might let you down given a chance, if your hope was there, you're going to get mad at God. Why'd you bring me this? God goes, you asked for this. Not that. You know, I deal with couples a lot. And it amazes me when they come to you and they tell you what's wrong with each other. Because they'll do that. The couples have a tendency to do that. And of course they see clearly what they're into. But the way they describe each other, I ask pretty regularly a question of the woman or the man, whoever I can get to first. And they're sitting there. Why on earth did you marry this thing? The way you've described him to me, I mean, you went into the depths of prison on death row and thought, well, there's a cutie. Come on. How did you get this? How did you find this? And then they look at me like there's something wrong with me. Oh, you don't understand. He wasn't this way when I married him. Oh, man. Dream on, little broomstick cowboy. You got to be kidding. Oh, yes, she was. Oh, yes, he was. Yes, they were. I married the wrong one. You've heard that one, haven't you? I married the wrong one. Let's see your license. Nope, it's the right one. It's what it says. This is legal. Then I give them the encouragement they really need. Be warmed and filled. Get out. You didn't say at your wedding, for better or forget it. You said for better or worse. Okay, it started out worse and it's gone from there. So? It's kind of sad that we try to make others make us happy. If they would just change, if they would do this instead, if he would, if she would, if they would, instead of putting your eyes on the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to love. Show me how to walk. Jesus says, you come to me, every one of you that labors and is heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn, Jesus, learn about me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your souls. If you could get your soul rested, your body comes along pretty easily. Well, look at verse 4. Talking about the Lord who heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power, verse 5 says, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Verses 4 through 6. That's amazing to me. Look how big God is and look at what he knows. See, God knows how many stars there are. Astronomers, the one with stars, not the ones who read them, the ones who look for them. Tough language. They tell us, and they know, that there are billions of stars out there. Billions. And the Bible says God knows how many stars there are, and he calls every one of them by name. Not only does he remember your name, but he knows the billions upon, and there are probably more stars than that, billions upon trillions upon big numbers. And God knows, he's given every one of them a name. On Dasher, on Dasher. He knows. That's how big he is. That's how big he can think. That's how much God's big. Our God is an awesome God, is what verses 4 through 6 tell us. He is great. He knows everything. Even though he is so awesome, though, so great, so powerful, He bends down low to take care of those who humble themselves before him. He bends down low, Scripture teaches us, that he could be close to you. Those who call out to him for help and for direction. Though he is awesome in power and in knowledge, yet he's right there when you say, I need help with this test. I need a job. Lord, I need some wisdom. I need to know what to do. And he's there. And listen, he's big and he knows everything. You don't have a thing to fear. So, verse 7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Sing praises to God with thanksgiving. Sing upon the harp. In other words, let's just say that in American. Sing praises to God with thanksgiving and with musical instruments. And God, we learn in verses 7 through 9, takes care of all creation. God is in absolute control. He feeds the animals. He clothes the lilies of the field. Jesus says, can't he take care of you? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or about what you're going to wear. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry about clothing. They don't sew and get little machines and make them little dresses and things. God makes them so beautiful. He says even Solomon in his most gorgeous clothing wasn't as beautiful as the flowers that God dresses. Won't he take care of you? And of course, the answer is understood. The answer is yes. Verse 10 says, he delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of man. That doesn't mean he thinks men's legs are ugly. It's talking about strength. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. See, the Lord does not delight in your strength, in our strength. Why? Because your healthiest, strongest day down here is puny, placed next to the strength of the Lord God. God is not impressed with our strength. Because, see, God is almighty. We're impressed with each other's strength. You know, I was watching strongman competition, and they would take a Volkswagen and get inside it and lift it up and carry it. I'm thinking, oh, that'll come in handy. You know, I always thought that blowing up water bottles would really come in handy with the girls, you know. See a girl you like, just blow up a water bottle and bust it. I'm sure she'd go, wow. Breaking bricks with your face. That's bound to stop them. We're impressed with those kinds of things. They have the tough man event I noticed out here at the gambling casino. Guys get up there and just fight. I don't know. What do you win? Money? Or something? And they fight. And I think, wow. Say that backwards with me. Wow. I'm sure there's something to prove. And I know many are impressed with it. But you know, God isn't impressed with it. You know what I believe? The Bible doesn't say this, but I believe that Samson was a really 90-pound weakling. I think Samson was a small, wimpy guy. The reason I think that is because if he was big like some of these guys, huge, well, what would be so impressive if he took on 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a man? But if he was just a skinny guy who, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he wiped out the neighborhood, you'd be going, that is the Lord. Look at him. It's got to be God. God isn't impressed with our size and our strength. We are. But you notice something? The Lord delights, not in our strength, in those of us who acknowledge our weakness. those who acknowledge that they are weak and put their trust and their hope in Him. God, the Bible says, delights in it. Now that blesses Him. There's someone I can use. Moses says, I can't do that. I can't. I stutter. I can't talk. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. Jeremiah says, I'm too young. I can't say these things. Isaiah says, Lord, who's going to listen to me? Elijah, the same thing. You see these men that got, you look, I mean, it was John and James and Peter and Andrew, Matthew. I mean, you take a look at these people. Paul. God delights in those who acknowledge that they're weak. Paul says, I take pleasure, joy in my weakness, in my often infirmities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong, because it's the Lord's strength. It is obviously, clearly God's strength. So the Lord delights in that. Verse 12 says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed the children within thee. He makes peace in thy borders and fills thee with the finest of wheat. All we're saying here is, those of you that live in Jerusalem, you're called on to praise the Lord. He gives you security, gives you peace, provides the harvest. By the way, this is not only something He was doing, this is also a prophecy of things that will be. Because God will continue to do that. Even though today Jerusalem is a little bit of a mess, you'll see this is fulfilled then, and it will be a prophecy fulfilled also. God will take care of them and provide for them. Verse 15, He sends forth His commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. Oh, man. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He shows His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments, unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. God's word, we just read, verses, 15 through 20. God's word controls the earth, even the snow, even the ice, even the melting of it. God's word. His word controls all of nature. And notice He has given His word, the Holy Scriptures, to the nation of Israel. That's where your Old Testament, if you'll read it, that's where it comes from. It didn't come from out of Ur of the Chaldees, although Abraham did. It came from the Jewish people. God sent His word through those people. It was His dealings with the nation of Israel. And through those dealings, you and I learn about the Lord our God. We learn about His love, about His mercy, about His grace, about His righteousness. And we learn of His coming judgment. Where did you learn all that? Through God's word. Sometimes people make up the religion. I know that you've heard me say this, but you and I shouldn't do that. Making up religion is easy. I'll give you an example. And I told this to someone today because they were going to make some coffee. And I said to the woman, I said, it is unscriptural for women to make coffee. The Bible says so. Really, where? Bible says, He brews. So you see, you can make up your own religion if you want, based on what you read out of the Bible. But it would be smart for us to go to God's word and take it in context and follow through and learn. You didn't know that, did you? Now you women will go home and they won't ever make coffee again. Bible says so. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. And praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. In other words, all creation, all above the earth, is called to praise the Lord. All. Even the sun, even the moon, even the stars. And all the angels.
praise, verse 2, praise ye him, all his angels. All are called upon to praise the Lord. You and I have been called upon as well. We can't forget it. We need to be praising the Lord. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord, for he has created everything. You can't avoid the fact that the Bible clearly teaches creation, not evolution. All the way through Scripture, it begins with, in the beginning, God created. The entire Scripture preaches and teaches creation, not evolution. And given enough time, science always catches up. Right now, they are lagging desperately behind. But if there is enough time, God bless them, they'll catch up. They always do. Science is just slow. Remember, the Bible said the world was round way before most people believed it was flat. And many, many people, even in Christopher Columbus's day, believed that the world is flat. And if you go too far near the edge, you'll fall off. Maybe turtles hold it up. Maybe it's some big guy holding it up, breaking things with his face. Strength. You know, we're impressed with strength. Christopher Columbus chose, as he read through the book of Isaiah, to believe God's word. And in the book of Isaiah, we're told that the world is round. He believed it. And, of course, he did think that he was finding the West Indies and he found Cuba. Well, okay, you're going to make some mistakes, all right? See, God created all the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. He created all by his command. What does that mean? By his word spoken. God's word is powerful. We're told later on in the New Testament, it is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is powerful. And you, Christian, you get to handle it. So learn how to handle it. Be careful how you swing it. Be careful how you use it. Verse 7 tells us this. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, that means young girls, old men and children. So what we've seen in the last few verses is pretty clear. All the heavens, all the universe is called upon to praise the Lord. And all creatures here below, even in the depths of the sea, those big whales and those big ugly things that are down there, called upon to praise the Lord as well. Verse 13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalts his horn, or the horn, that's the power of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. Praise him because his name is excellent, he says. His name is above all names. His glory and his splendor are above all, and they're beyond all his creation. God is big. God is almighty. God is worthy to be praised. And if the sheep and the goats and the big fish in the sea and the sun and the moon and the stars are called upon to praise God, then how much more should we, who are literally created by him in his image for his good pleasure, we should praise the Lord. We don't praise him enough. We do complain. That we do, because it's hard down here. He said it would be, and it is, and we're more adept at complaining about it than saying, that's all right, Lord, yeah, it's ugly, but you know what? Heaven's not. Well, I thank you. Thank you that you've given me life. Thank you that Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm yours. You can always
find a reason to praise the Lord. Just take a look at the stars in the sky. Now we go on. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 149. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. Sing to the Lord, he says, a new song. Hey, we see a new song. If you want to learn a new one, it's in the book of Revelation. They sing a new song. And what was that song? That song was sung, and it was about Jesus Christ being our Savior and the Redeemer of the world. That's the new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise God with singing and dancing and musical instruments. You know, all that's suggesting here is celebrate. Praise is with a joyful heart in celebration of the Lord, of his power, of his strength, of his help. When God has moved in your life, you know you're thrilled. When you see God move, when he answers prayer and it's just what you prayed and he answers it, you know you're thrilled. And you just start to praise, thank you, Lord, and you want to sing, and there's a celebration in your heart. What we're learning is even the tough times can be a true celebration because God has not changed. He is still on the throne. He's in control. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, verse 4 says. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. I like this. God loves his people. Are you his? Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? If you have, then you are his. We are his. And I'm telling you, God loves you. And I'm telling you that because, not because I feel like saying that, but because Scripture is perfectly clear on the issue. You'll see it when Jesus talks about how loving his Father is. But here you've got it again. God loves his people. Are you his people? You say, yeah. Then he loves you. Don't question it. It was a little story that we were told, but to make a long story short, the person asked the Lord, do you love me? And he said, yes. And they said to the Lord, how much? And he said, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died on the cross. It just shows you he loves you. The next time the devil tells you God doesn't love you, the next time that comes up, or someone on the street says, God is love, I don't think he loves you, then what you need to do is just stop and look back at the cross. Jesus, willing to go to the cross, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus on the cross shows you God's love for you. There is no question. There should never be another doubt as long as you live that God loves you, because it's true. And God keeps his word, and his word says so also. He says you should be joyful, even singing in your hearts while you're resting. You can lay there and praise God. Have you ever had that experience? You're just so excited of what God has done in your life that you lay down, but you can't go to sleep. Man, the night I got saved after the crusade, we rode back on the bus. It was about 8 miles from Agana, Guam, back to the barracks that we were going to. And man, I felt like I could run it. We got back to the barracks and it was probably around midnight. And I had to get up the next day and get into work, of course, at O'Dark 30. But I laid there, man, and I was just so excited, I couldn't sleep. I'm singing some of the songs. Just as I am. Knock it off, Bob. I'm sorry. Sorry, dudes. Was I doing that out loud? Haven't you ever been so blessed? You're just praising God in your heart. You can't stop. That's what he's saying that it ought to be for me and you. Verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And of course, you know what that two-edged sword is, don't you? God's word. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people.
to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Interesting statement. God's justice is executed upon the wicked. You and I are called upon to preach the gospel. And what do we do? How do we do it? Make up stories? No. We tell people God's word. That's a two-edged sword. And you and I are the ones that are out there swinging it. You and I are the ones that are preaching the gospel. You may preach it at work, you may preach it at school, you may wherever, to your neighbors, but there you are sharing, and it's the word of God, and it's going forth. The true saints, he says, isn't that what this says? To execute upon them judgment written, this honor have all the saints. You know, the angels could be out here preaching the gospel, probably doing a much better job of it, but who does God let share? In your neighborhood. You! Who does God let share at work or at school or wherever you're at? God allows you and me. We get to tell people. Jesus saved my life. Let me tell you what he did in my life. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. And we quote to them, you know, 1 John chapter 5. I write this, beloved, so that you'll believe, so that you can know that you have eternal life. And we're quoting to them what God's word says. For by grace are you saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved. We're quoting them. That's the sword going. And it divides between the soul and spirit. It's so sharp. The word of God is going forth and the spirit is working in the lives of people. You shared the gospel with somebody. They're going to stand before the Lord someday. And they're going to say, I never accepted you, but nobody told me. And he's going to say, oh, yes, they did. Let me replay it back for you. And he'll have that DVD. It'll be really digital, nice quality, stereo surround sound. So all of us are going to hear it. There you are sharing with them, and they laughed in your face. What does the Bible say? This honor the saints have. And so, praise the Lord. That's what he says. Now, Psalm 150 ends the whole thing. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. All right. Here's a reminder of what you've seen throughout the book. The book ends with praise being required or called upon from everyone. The Lord our God, the Lord our Savior, the Lord our Redeemer, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God should be the object of our worship and our praise. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. The object of our worship and praise should be God Almighty. He is the one and only true God. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. We should praise Him. We should worship Him. Praise Him, verse 3, with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery, the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. In other words, praise is going to be loud. Smash the cymbals. Hit them with your sticks. But not only that. Praise him with musical instruments of all kinds. Oh my goodness. I started playing my guitar at 9 years old. Because I was going to make records when I got older. And I was going to a specific church, and that church had this huge organ. And the sound of it was the same. It didn't matter which song you played. You could play Inagata Davida, or you could play Holy, Holy, Holy. And I mean, it was the same. And that person who played it was 932 years old. Oh, man, but she was good because she played with her feet and her hands. And I mean, it was beautiful. And a young man who kind of worked with us kids. I remember I was a freshman in high school. He came up and he said, could I talk you into playing your guitar at church? And I thought, you got to be kidding. What will that old person do? They'll shoot me. I mean,
the guitars and drums are of the devil. Everyone knows that. Every good Baptist preacher said it for years. It's the beat, the beat. Of course, that argument was destroyed when New Age music came out and led a bunch of people astray. But anyway, I said, if you'll protect me, I'll play. That old person, if she gets off from that organ, I'll never see the light of day. And they had what they called a folk mess. And there were, he played, he was probably in his 30s, and I played. And one girl with bongos. I mean, we were living. Oh, man. It was, I mean, the people were so offended. Oh, Lord. I thought, I'm going to hell. They're not going to let me even in purgatory with this one. I'm going straight. I mean, there's just no way to work this off. I thought that. I thought, this is it, man. I should have known better. Man, in the late 60s, in a little country church on the edge of town, right by the bean field there, a place called Calvary Chapel. Long-haired people, girls and guys alike, brought guitars, electric, with drums, and would worship and praise and clap their hands and stomp their feet and do rapture drills. They would all hold hands and jump in the air together, practicing. And the complaints raged throughout Southern California. Listen to what that young pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith, listen to what he's allowing. It's of the devil. Scripture has never changed. It has always said this right here. Praise him with every instrument you could get your hands on. Drums, loud cymbals, gongs, even organs. Harps. Trumpets, trombones, flutes, orchestras, all that to praise. It's a celebration. We worship God. We praise God. I'm sorry, but I think the music in heaven is going to be good because there are lots of music. I told someone the other day, I said, you know, all musicians go to heaven. They said, really? Why do you say that? I said, because none of them ever reach the age of accountability. It's going to be packed with musicians. I'm just kidding. They all need to accept Jesus too. He says, praise him with the musical instruments, with all kinds of musical instruments in celebration. Look at verse 6, the last verse of the book of Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's a final call. Everyone and everything, all of creation, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. But he ends it with the word hallelujah, which means in our language, in every language, you praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And he ends the whole book with you. Me, us, we praise the Lord. He didn't say, well, there are going to be times when others will be praising him, but you just won't have the heart. It's hard now for you, and so you won't. No, here's what he says. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You praise the Lord. Me, we should be praising the Lord. All the way through the book of Psalms, verse by verse, 1 year, in 4 months, give or take a few weeks. I don't know how you guys did it. That's a long time. Next week, I'm going to start a short book. I'm going to break from tradition. And I'm going to do a New Testament book. Because we need to do it. And I didn't even know about it. I had a whole different plan. But we'll do 1 John. Could have done Revelation and doubled the size of the place, but Because 1 John, after studying all of this on praise, John's going to say, I write this so that you can have joy. And I think we'll just kind of go take it from praising God into our lives being filled with joy. That doesn't mean we'll always be laughing. That doesn't mean we'll always be comfortable. That doesn't mean it'll always flow our way. We will be swimming upstream a lot in the coming days, years, however long our lives will be on this earth. But everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you. It's exciting each time that we finish a book, get all the way through it. Long or short, Lord, doesn't matter. Just verse by verse to go through that book. Lord, it's like your spirit in our hearts saying it's accomplished. It's another part that's accomplished. Lord, just to go through your word, just to listen to you, just to learn. We remember way back in Psalm 1 how we can trust in the Lord and that we give our lives to you and we can be by like a tree planted by rivers, like living water. We think about Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a useless thing and try to come against you? Lord, and I know that we could go through every psalm one at a time and just remember. We praise you, Lord, from our hearts. Though our lives are difficult, some don't have their health. And certainly the doctors are not giving them much promise. But Lord, you're big and you know everything. And so your word says it clearly. Just come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. All you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Find rest unto your souls. Lord, that's what we're looking for. To be happy. We remember that we simply need to love. Need to place our lives, our hearts, into your hands. Lord, we praise you. Just for a moment or two before we leave this building, we praise you. Thank you for allowing us to study this entire book. And Lord, we pray for our freedoms. We pray for this country. We pray that you would continue to allow us to have our Bibles, your word, to have the freedom to share your word with others and to have the freedom to open our Bibles anytime, anywhere. We worship you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised.